Okay, thank you everyone for coming. So I'm happy to be here with Andrea. We both work with an organization called Global Purpose Movement, where we do purpose work with individuals and organizations to share this session with you. And probably there may be people who continue to come in, so we'll make space for them. And Andrea and I will do a dance of passing this microphone back and forward. So I'm glad you've come. Just a few welcoming words from me before I pass over to Andrea. So this session is titled Purpose Rising, Igniting Multi-Meme Social Transformation. And I'd like to have a bit of fun in this session. So what I'm looking forward to in this session is to be in an exploration of what I experience purpose to really be, which is it's the evolutionary life force and eros of the cosmos. And it is fucking wonderful to be in the flow of. And it is my passion and my joy to work with Andrea and the rest of our team to provide spaces and do events like we're about to do in Berlin, where we have all sorts of awesome people who are living that passion and living that fire and all the different stuff that they're doing across multiple fields to come and speak about their work, or that we hold space to go deep into this energy with each other and with the people that we run events with. So there's a quote by, what's his name? I've forgotten his name now, the guy who did the quote. But it's someone will remember, it's don't ask what you should do, ask what brings you alive, because what the world needs is people who've come alive. And the social rights activist. My view is that what is needed right now is for people to be supported, to find their place in the social change and global change movement in a way that isn't heavy, that doesn't feel overwhelming in relation to all the stuff that we see every day on the news, but that is alive and that feels passionate and fulfilling and enlivening to them. So I feel that when we do this type of purpose work, we can explore that type of stuff.
So speaking of feeling alive, there's no windows in this room, and I'm sure everybody else has been to other workshops. So before we start, let's just rise for a moment, just like get into our bodies. If we're going to ride the eros of the universe, I think we need to move our hips a little bit. So yeah, just kind of move your hips, just notice, do a body scan, maybe roll your shoulders back. Maybe close your eyes and bring your hand to your abdomen. Maybe the next hand to your heart, just feeling the intuition of your body, taking some breaths. I'm from Chicago, and I do a lot of yoga, and we joke that like in LA, in all the yoga classes, everybody exhales a loud sigh. So we'll just do like an LA yoga exhale, inhale through your nose, and exhale loudly through the mouth. One more time, because that felt so good. Inhale. And exhale. So in John and I's style, I just want to give you guys full permission to do whatever you need to do. So if you need to leave, or go to the bathroom, or make space over there, just be your own authority, follow the intuition of your body, and enjoy this time together.
Thank you. So I want to start with, I've not done this before, but I feel like I want to do this because this is it's going to be fun for me. I'm going to read a quote to you, right, which is my favorite quote in the world. Have a seat. Feel free to have a seat. And I'd like you to receive this quote in a meditation, just as an entry into the energy that we're exploring here. And let me just break it down a little bit more. What I'm trying to do here is to explore a perspective beyond the idea that purpose is a mission statement and a goal in your life, that you know what that thing is, and once you get there, then you're done, right? Purpose is an energy that, for some people, moves down into their consciousness. For some people, it moves up from their bodies. But the root of it, the essence of it, is an energy. And I would like us to be in the exploration of what it feels like to be in contact with that energy, because as anyone here will know, when you've been in contact with that energy, that's one of the most alive experiences that you've ever had, where you feel deeply connected to life, to your place on this planet, to what it means for you to feel deeply fulfilled as you are alive. So this is a quote, this is that is about power, actually. And I'm reading it because for me, this energy, what this is described, what is described here, and power are really very much the same thing. So just receive this and take it in. See if you can feel this in your own experience, but possibly at all ever. I am backed by power. Vast, unconquerable, irresistible power. Suns are behind me. Galaxies, whirling fire mists. Great winds, oceans, and rivers bear me on. That which launched my personality into life's struggle is destiny. No one can resist her. She moves through the swarms of men as the elephant through the reeds of the jungle. It is not I who is coming. It is destiny advancing me, her pawn. I am. I am not a little exclusive I, but the great inclusive allied I. It is the play of stellar electricity in my soul. It is the central heat of the planet warming my being. Behind me, bearing me on, is power. This power energizes me. It is within me. It roars dull and deep as a blast furnace. I can hear it in the night watches, a rumble as of distant thunder. Men, events, and death do not dismay me. Worlds mean nothing to me. Removed from this earth, I shall expect new planets as footholds for my forces. I shall not be disappointed. I look into myself, and if I find in me any goodness, any nobleness, any love, any upleaping ambition to create, I laugh, for these things are fragments of supernatural radium, of everlasting, outpouring power. I have taken this power as my own. I have stripped all the rags and trappings of heathenism from it. I have discovered its shattering stellar beauty. I have found out it is what men call God. Okay, thank you. The source is awesome. It was written by a guy called Frank Crane, who was a Christian pastor in around 1920. He wrote that. So, that energy, for me, that is what purpose is. It is a wave of life's own desire. It is a wave of the one's own passion to create and unfold itself. And it, when it moves through our heart, it is felt to be unstoppable. And then it can come into mind. And it can be refracted and reflected in projects that are our own particular soul's destiny. Or it can rise up from people's bodies and they know what to do in certain situations. So all of this, for me, is just to try and land the exploration in your heart, in your awareness, of that this energy is aliveness itself. And it's actually a moment-to-moment practice for us to know how much we are in alignment with this or not. My own experience is that I can be out of alignment with this or 100% in alignment with this in a moment. And it's about how I'm holding the integrity of my being and how much I'm really willing to lean into where life could want to take me if I'm willing to give myself to that. Is there anything you want to share? So from an integral perspective, this energy is, we have this taxonomy of non-dual, causal, subtle, gross. The absolute one that is the presence and infinity of the divine that's breathing and living every moment in every center, arising from every center, without an end. It's dynamic energy is what is arising moment to moment as everything. And that dynamic energy has all sorts of qualities. In Tibetan Buddhism, they say it has an infinite number of enlightened qualities. And some of the qualities that we're familiar with are love. You know, there is the statement, God is love. And that's been a core focus of the spiritual traditions. A lot of kind of cutting-edge cosmology and science is revealing that there is an intelligence which orders the cosmos, that there is an incredible design by which things work. You could say that this intelligence is another one of these aspects of the One. But purpose is also another one of these qualities, that there's the living, breathing expression of the One that's arising through everything is actually saturated with this energy already. And that energy is arising from everywhere. It's available everywhere, but it's refracted uniquely through every soul. So there's an opportunity for every individual as they connect to themselves, as they find their own alignment within themselves and in their own life, to find how this energy wants to uniquely express through their life. And that, you know, my passion for that, and I think your passion for that, connects to why we do the work that we do. And my desire and interest is moving into speaking about our work. I've been in an exploration for the last kind of 6 or 7 years of, it's driven by like, how do we respond to the global crisis that we're currently facing? And my exploration is, how do we have the largest number of people as fast as possible find their place in a way that's joyful and alive in contributing to building the world that we want to build? And what I've experienced is that the fastest way I know is purpose work. Because it helps a person. When a person is connected to this within themselves, they find their place within the collective. They find what's theirs to do, what their gift is to share. Do you want to share on your experience?
And I'm sure many of you can relate to the fact that it can be a difficult road, especially when you don't really have clarity when you're young, or you have these yearnings and these feelings and these leanings, and where do you go? And sometimes purpose work can be counterintuitive to society, to just churning out a paycheck and making sure your life, you know, you have safety and survival needs are met. And so this work has been challenging. And what we've found in the global purpose movement is, how do we raise as many voices in the purpose movement as possible so people can find, you know, what works for them and really feeling into their purpose? Because there's some people who go more toward an ascendant path, as John was talking about, through the mind, through consciousness, and other through the descendant path, through the body, through vision questing, through sort of shadow work, etc. And so our work with Global Purpose Movement is basically to really raise all the voices, not only how we can find our individual purpose, but also collective purpose. What's the purpose of, you know, sexuality, the purpose of politics, education, etc.? So holding panels and workshops, exploring different collective fields of purpose. And right now, we want to invite you to consider the energy flow of purpose in your life and what's been present for you. So shall we do a little musical meditation? All right. So I invite everybody to use the room now, and you can take off your shoes, you could lay down, you could dance a little bit in the back, but we're just going to take the next 4 minutes to really consider the edge, the purpose edge that you've been riding your entire life. You know, when were those key decisions that you've taken that have brought you to where you are? When did you feel like, when were you off purpose? You know, when did you grieve, like, not being in the flow of life force? And just sort of recognizing that energy within yourself. All right, so find your place in the room. Get comfortable. And really, like, let your animal body do what it wants to do. Like, if you need to growl or crawl, now's the time to let loose that icy. As you explore the room, just feel your body, feel your breath, and feel into what makes you come alive. What do you stand for in this life? What makes you cry? What makes your heart beat? What makes you fucking angry? Keep moving the energy, keep feeling into your precious life. Life moving through you. Your unique contribution. Feel it in your body. Energy of purpose showing up in your life. Transmitting with your life. How are you riding the edge of your own life? Strength. Where are you stuck now? Where is resistance showing up in your life? How are you ready to show up more fully in your purpose? What does it feel like in your body? Move the energy, breathe. Taking a moment, just feeling wherever you are. Taking a moment to integrate that exploration. When you're ready, slowly making your way back to the circle. Thank you so much for being open to playing and in this embodied way. We'd like to hear kind of what's alive for you and the purpose, you know, in that exploration. What circumstances have really showed up, been supportive of purpose in your life?
Thank you. I'd just like to add that something that I've found super inspirational as I've been in this exploration around purpose, and it's been inspirational enough for me that every time I've read something like this, I've generally contacted Andrea and I've written her an email, or we've had some kind of Skype conversation where I've told her this thing that I've read and been like, wow, isn't that amazing? isn't that amazing? And it's often been that around the way that purpose... there's a wave of purpose which is showing up in the world today, in businesses, in politics, in many different fields, and it feels like a kind of a response and something that's arising in answer to our collective situation today. But it's also ancient. The role of purpose in human societies and human culture is ancient as well. And something that I found amazing as I've looked at this has been that the way that purpose showed up in pretty much any ancient culture that I've kind of studied it in is basically always the same. And it's to do with the right relationship between the individual and the tribe, or the individual and the collective. It's a bi-directional right relationship. So, and there's responsibilities that are entailed in it, so that it's the responsibility of an individual to find what brings them most alive and to share that with the community. And it's the responsibility of the community to support that in the individual. And that was a characteristic of a number of, you know, ancient communities and tribes and so on, and some indigenous communities today. Part of what our work is dedicated to is how we can move together towards a global culture that does that, where the tribe is humanity as a whole. So in that, circles are important. Community is important. How we relate to each other and how we honor that everyone holds a peace is important, and how we support each other in that. That community is here right now. Everyone holds a peace here. So I just wanted to add that as we share, you know, the inquiry is from that experience, and also just from your own contemplations, your experience during this conference and so on. How has that feeling of deep aliveness, where you know you are in the flow of your own right energy, how has that shown up in your life? What have been the circumstances that have contributed to that as well?
And also very simply, like, what makes you come alive? I would love to know from each one of you, like, what makes you come alive? Yeah, and I'm wondering if we could just pass the mic around, actually, and then if you don't feel like sharing, you could just pass it on. But would that be okay? All right.
For me, it's dancing. That it's both what brings me alive, and it's actually both my purpose. So, yeah.
Yeah, wonderful music, yeah.
More difficulty here and now.
Actually, music also really deeply resonates with me and energizes me in strange ways, wonderful ways. But in my work, what juices me, what makes me come alive, is to see others see what I can see and see that we can coordinate together to affect something new. So disrupt status quo, disrupt momentum, disrupt inertia. And when I can participate that in that with others and see the effect of that, I'm like on.
There's a lot of things that make me feel really alive. Music, dancing, people, community, consciousness. What drives me and has me wake up every morning and not be able to stop myself until I fall asleep is my mission of gathering people in community with the leading principle of learning what's in the way of being love, being in connection. And I know, and we had a little bit about purpose in the previous session, and I'm so reminded that throughout my life, now at 63, that my purpose has changed. You know, it was this quite big highfalutin thing many years ago that was really contrived, and now it is just, you know, how do I be love and create connection around that? Yeah, thanks.
Oh, wow. Music, definitely music. A sense of alignment with the divine, mystery, whatever anybody wants to call it. Nature, beauty. A lot of my work has been about facilitating people to find their purpose and to live into their potential, and that still excites me, although I'm retired now from that directly, but I'm very excited to hear about your work. Ideas, particularly about that, about ways that humans can navigate life and how we can be together in love and not hurt one another.
Okay. Well, I could repeat on these things, beauty, nature, music, and also add fasting. And I think the most important thing for me is in human communication, some synchronous moments of synchronicity when you like you want to say something and the other says it, or you think something and you see it, the other thinks the same, or something like that. Yeah. And that always touches me.
I think that you opened my eyes with your speech, and I also I have to say that throughout my life, I've been searching what my purpose is, and I've been so many times in a sideways, but I'm realizing now that each of these sideways brought some a new layer to my life that enabled me to find a purpose. So now there is all this richness of the knowledge that I have gained and experiences and cross-cultural experiences and so on that made me, in a way, really very rich. And from this, I can find my new purpose. That because of searching the purpose in the past, you know, and losing my way, I wouldn't be able to come to this point where I'm now.
I just want to be clear. I'm alive now. And what brings me more alive is humor is one thing. Being a fool, being a beautiful fool. And challenge, like now, like sharing myself in front of a group of people or being in a group of people where all of a sudden I'm the focus. And another big thing, I think, well, there's a challenge to understand what's happening, particularly in human relations. And so then also that moment of insight where there's a connection, I think, sort of like what Tom said, there's a connection and an understanding, and there's that moment of understanding something new together with somebody else.
I think what brings me alive is when a group of people, of individuals, become aware of their collective purpose together. When together we're on the edge of what is possible and we don't know what's going to happen next, and something comes through. And it's not something that is owned by any one person, but it's something that's owned by the whole group and is created by the group moment to moment as we go. Willingness, curiosity, intention, letting go of all your fixed ideas of what has to happen, letting go to allow this fire, this eros to emerge without pre-thinking it, without knowing what will be next, not knowing if you're going to make an utter fool out of yourself or just a partial fool out of yourself, being able to be in the field. Yeah, that's the most alive thing.
What really ignites my passions and makes me feel alive is a quest for learning, for becoming more of myself, finding those lost parts and developing the yet unborn potentials. And as well to become a conduit and share any understanding or knowledge that I am privileged to get with the wider world in the hopes of making some small contribution to the wider experience of waking up.
To be very honest, I started to get a bit brain fucked about this thing recently. Because in the past 5 years, I have been accompanying young adults to find their purpose. And I have been holding spaces for groups, for individuals, and I have been really researching this question. And recently, I'm like, geez, I'm such a mess. I'm not sure if I know it myself. Or like there were so many layers, like, going deeper and deeper. And then, like, okay, but what is really the essence? And where am I? And who am I? And how am I crystallizing? And how am I going to turn it to a viable business model? Ah! And this pressure, like, okay, if you have your purpose, then do a startup on it. It's like, Yeah, I feel pressure under myself. I'm putting a lot of pressure on myself around this topic of purpose, and I tend to feel messed up around it, definitely. I'd say what makes me come alive is when I actually kind of like forget myself, and when I have those like moments with the universe that I'm like, oh, I'm actually not in control, and just kind of like surrender, but then just like let myself be used and feel that freedom. So I'd say that.
What makes it tick for me in terms of work is when I can be part of telling stories or facilitating stories or amplifying stories about when people become the best versions of themselves, and especially when that includes someone owning their shadow and finding the power of the shadow.
Lots of things. But maybe the first thing is exploring the world and learning by doing, not just listening, but really doing. So I feel a kind of motivation to keep moving all the time. And also, on the other hand, compassion and really helping others and connecting with not only with people, actually, but the nature. I think that's most of it.
I would like to speak about what is the most painful thing. It's lack of recognition at work. It's really like death. And otherwise, what makes me alive is giving, is preparing presents and giving.
I would say creativity, mystery, and love.
Maybe we keep the circle going a bit longer. Huh? Elizabeth, what's the name of the philosopher who a lot of people have written about Ken Wilber in relation to recently? Critical realism. He died. Thank you. Roy Bhaskar. There was a friend of mine who I had some time with, Zach Stein, about a year ago. Something just comes up for me as I'm struck by some of the stuff that people have shared, where he was describing how there was a perspective that Roy Bhaskar wrote about, where he said that even though the present social structures that humanity operates within, yes, they're the product of evolution, but they don't really feel like they're run on love, right? So even though that's the case, it's actually love that underlies all of them, because it's the human beings who in their daily lives love their partner, love their parents, or love their kids, or the little actions that have people's lives ticking over, love themselves, do their own personal work out of an altruistic orientation to bring something better in the world. That's the foundation that lets this thing continue to run. And I'm just struck by that as people share, and just the beauty that is alive and that is such a regular thing that shows up in so many people's lives that gives them a taste of aliveness so often. And there's a couple of themes which I wanted to pick up in the discussion, which also I'd invite further reflection on from people if there's anything that comes up for them. So one of those is that this is a journey, and that people can often feel pressure to be there fast. They can feel pressure to have, you know, as in the work that I've done around this for a while,
people can inhabit often one of two extremes, which is I'm not going to get there. So I've seen a bunch of people who actually will have the perspective, probably everyone else can get there, but not me. I just can't find my way here, and probably I never will. And it's a big 100%, this isn't going to work, failure situation, right? And the other perspective is, the other extreme perspective is, I should be there now. Like, I need to be there now. I need to be complete now. That's where I should be now. And I'm pissed off with myself for not being there now. Right? And, can people relate to this? Yeah. So, just to say, in my experience, a middle ground has been useful. Yeah. There was another theme which I wanted to pick up on. It's disappeared now. But, okay. So, something that that I do want to explore, though. How many people feel in this circle that they are able to spend the majority of their time doing what brings them alive? How many people feel that they're really, spending the majority of your time doing what brings you most alive, living your purpose? Okay. So could we just go around a little bit again? And just, I'd be interested to hear people say, like, how did that happen for you? Like, what did it actually take? Because, okay, I remember the thing that was challenge. Was it you, Aftab? You said challenge. And that was a theme that came up a number of times with people as well. That's powerful. If you feel that, you know, there's evolutionary tension in every moment. There's evolutionary tension in the challenges that we face and in what they develop in us. And there was something that you said as well, which was to do with each moment that you felt that has been a diversion on your path, you've then come to a place of recognizing that actually develops something in you to allow you to take the next step. That's something which it's like, I feel in my own experience, I've witnessed many times that the universe just does certain things. There's certain patterns that it creates in people's lives, which are beautiful things, and they seem to show up repeatedly. That's one of them, which is that when people go deeper in their purpose, they will often feel for a long time, I'm not on it, I'm not on it, I'm not on it. Oh, now I'm on it. And the minute that they really make a transition to go deeper, they actually realize all those times where they thought they weren't on it, something was being cultivated. Something was being prepared. And they were actually developing through a set of experiences in their lives, a set of skills that somehow magically, crazily, perfectly fitted them to be able to do that next thing, which actually is what they know is something coming from a much deeper place in them.
Yeah, one very important experience of mine, because I really had kind of really few different careers, was that I didn't dare to expect something or to desire something really good for me. So I said, okay, I'll try this. But then it turned out that life had something much better for me there. And so I'm... even succeeding or not succeeding in that particular career, I was, after some time, I was ready for another higher step, good step further on that this life prepared. So my life has been always getting better and better. So I had very kind of modest expectations from my life when I was, let's say, 15. I lived in a village where shoemakers, shoemaking was big tradition, so I wanted to become shoemaker. And after all, my last career was I was a tour director taking people from around the world, around Europe, and on a premium tours, and I stayed in five-star hotels everywhere and ate good food, and I saw many places, and I And I met many interesting people, so fantastic life. But I believe that life has something even better now for me, you know. So it was a bit difficult now to live this good life and to go, to dare to go even further on. But once again, from the shoemaker idea to tour director, there were many steps in between.
So here's my experience in the moment, that you both are oozing capability and oozing purpose. And you could challenge us much more than you have so far in terms of presencing the longing that has brought us here. And I'm very open to following your lead.
A little bit of a challenge, right?
Okay. Let me just breathe that in after. Okay, please stand up. Let's clear the chairs away. Do something else. Okay, so something I'm allowing myself to do in my facilitation more and more recently these days is to just be completely like transparent and honest about the stuff that goes on in my life. Right. So something, yeah, just be me, right? Yeah. So two of the most profound experiences this year, I've worked with plant medicines for quite a while, but I'd never worked with ayahuasca until this year, and I've worked with ayahuasca twice this year, and they've been two of the most unbelievably fucking powerful, incredible experiences of my entire life. And both of those experiences, there's been a single communication. There's been a bunch of other stuff as well, as you can imagine, but there's been a single communication that's been in both, which has been that thing, that stuff which brings you most alive. Why the fuck are you doing anything apart from that? Why are you spending any of your time doing anything by what you know already lights you the fuck up? Like, because life is amazing. And there's an invitation for you to live that. The temple's here, right? It's all set up. Show up if you want. Or keep doing all that stuff that maintains safety and that makes you feel like you can hold on to the stuff which keeps you feeling good and safe and okay and connected and all that kind of thing. But you could, right? So what I've experienced in that is the very same thing that Elizabeth said, which is that it's here right now. It's always here. Yeah. So we can make choices in any moment to be in further alignment with that or not. So what I would like to invite now is for everyone to just start to move through the room, just start to just let your body guide you, just start to walk, just start to flow through the room, and ideally don't step on my microphone lead. And start to find a space in the room. Start to allow yourself to be drawn to a place in the room where you feel that you can go deep with and within yourself. And when you found that place, allow yourself to come to a stop there and keep your eyes closed. So I would like to invite everybody's agreement that this is a process that we're going to engage together right now, that we're going to give it its due meaning. It's a process where we're going to look at what is the next step. What's the next step for each one of us individually to really step into what's possible in our lives right now? So I'd like to invite those of you who are up for this to say yes. Cool. So I'd like to invite you to, first of all, just take a deep breath into your heart and let it go. And take a deep breath into your belly and let it go. And then take a deep breath into your root and let it go. Now I'm going to invite you to just park your awareness in your own heart space. Just rest your awareness in your own heart. And as you rest your awareness in your own heart space, you just let it ease in there. You may start to feel the different layers of your own heart space. From your gross heart, then a little deeper, a little softer, to the subtle layers of your own heart. And then even a little deeper into the causal layer of your own heart. Formlessness, infinite energy, power, purpose. And start to feel that there's a fire that's always alive in your own heart space. This is a sensing process. See if you can just sense something, a flicker, a flame of that energy, of that fire, of that universal eros that's seeking to move through your heart and provide direction, clarity, insight, drive. And then just start to contemplate, what's your next step? For you to really live this energy, for you to live the life that you could, for you to be alive, what's the next step? What would you do if you trusted? Just feel what that thing is. Let that space, that fiery, alive space of your own heart, speak it to you, reveal it to you in some kind of impulse, vision, clarity, guidance, whatever it might be for you. And in the spirit of this being you taking responsibility for the challenge that you can step up to in your own life. In a minute, I'm going to count to three. And after three, I'm going to invite everyone here who's willing to commit themselves to taking that step to take a physical step forward. Wait. After three. And that physical step forward is going to embody your commitment to live as such, and to take you to the other side of that commitment. And as you take that step, you are welcome to make a noise, to make that step loudly, to stomp it down, to take it quietly, whatever feels in keeping with the energy as it wants to naturally move through you. So, after three, one, two, three. So now just feel what it feels like to be on the other side of that step. Because as much as your commitment is real, the other side of this step is real. And I'd like to invite everyone to take a deep breath into their heart. To open their eyes and to then again start to move through the room. And as you start to move through the room, allow yourself to make eye contact with the other people here. And just recognize that each of those people has been courageous enough, dedicated enough, alive enough, interested enough, daring enough to take this step. There's a community of daring and courage and aliveness here, and a community of love. Okay. So I'd like to invite everyone again just to take a deep breath into your heart. Let it go with some sound. And yeah, let's come back into a circle. So if you want to... Do people want to sit? Do you want to sit? Okay. All right. Okay. Feel free to sit on the ground or grab a chair if you want to grab a chair.
So we've got about 8 minutes left, I believe. So, you know what's really, I have to be honest, what's alive for me right now is like a fight, you know. I want a showdown. A showdown between what keeps us from living our, stepping into our fullest purpose and those who are fully in it. Can we have an 8-minute showdown? An 8-minute showdown? A showdown? Okay, it's a battle. I just want to know who has resistance towards stepping in to your full purpose. Did anybody feel any resistance when you made that step? Who feels like they're fully in the next step? Okay, I'd love to hear from somebody who had some resistance and who feels like they're just to have some real authenticity in this step.
Not knowing how. Not only not knowing how, but efforts in the last 2 to 3 years not actualizing it. So, yeah, so the lack of clarity came closer to then to the term resistance. In fact, there's a certain kind of urgency. But there is a fight. There's no question about it.
Actually, I'll take that on. So there's a fight. So there's this lack of clarity, right? But you said, I don't actually know how, but what we just did was just take a step. You know how to do that. So I'd like to hear from you the side that is on the other side. What I heard was the side of the fight that's resistant or cloudy. And I'd like to hear the other side, if you would.
Speak from the other side. You don't have to know how. It wouldn't be the next step if you knew how. That's the open secret, you know. If you know how, it's not the next step. It's somebody else's idea for your next step.
Are you trying to convince me, or do you actually know?
I know this. Huh? Yeah, I know this about, like, in the sense that I know this is how we grow.
I feel doubt in you. I want to hear the one who clearly knows.
You know, I've been in education for a long time. And so there's a lot of failure. I've been around a lot of failure of development. So as committed as I am to development, it is my experience that collectively we have something that needs to emerge about how development happens. And I have seen a lot of failure of development both in spaces that I am influential in, and also spaces that I'm not. So I know it isn't in the spaces I'm in, I'm partly the issue. But it's happening in spaces that I'm not in also. So where is our collective edge around development, which is in some ways is another way of saying, where is the resistance to sacred purpose continuing to shape our lives and the next chapter in our lives.
Yeah, we'd like to. Well, we'd just like to hear from more people in the next step. Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
So I had resistance in taking the step because it was to quit my comfortable, well-paid job where I'm not recognized. But I thought I couldn't do the step, but I said to myself, I don't need to do that tomorrow.
To speak to that real briefly, you know, we should recognize, right, that there are sort of actual, you know, there are actual limitations to, well, depending on maybe how we conceive of our purpose, right, but, you know, when you asked, do you feel like you're living your purpose all the time, I don't know if that's how you phrased it, but, you know, I didn't raise my hand, because there are plenty of things that I do throughout the day, you know, commute to the office, et cetera, that don't give me joy, right? But that I feel are necessary to, you know, support my family, to, you know, whatever that means, essentially to enable me to at least have some time that is purposeful and meaningful and beautiful, you know? So I don't think that, you know, I hope that, I don't think there's any shame in knowing that there are moments at which, you know, we're not maybe fully aligned with our purpose, but just that is, you know, again, this side of the step and, you know, figuring out what's next is sort of, I don't know, I guess why we're here.
For sure. All life is a negotiation between life and structure. Yeah. And wherever we're at a particular point in time. Yeah.
Thank you. So I also feel some resistance for a while because I'm not even, so lack of clarity, not even on the how, but also on the what. So I always have a fear that, or most of the time I have a fear that I'm stepping in, not in the right direction. So I have this question nonstop in my head, whether it's the right direction. Okay, I know that maybe it's not the right direction and I can learn from it, but still, this is the situation I'm coping with, I'm trying to cope with.
Okay, we're actually going to close it down now. No, it is. I think time is up, right? Yeah, time is up. So there's so much to say on this topic. There's so much to say for our individual exploration and also what's emerging in the field and collectively. And we're going to be talking more about this in Berlin, June 2nd and 3rd at the Purpose Summit Berlin. And John and I are going to be there, Carly and Ryan, Elizabeth, Aftab, Tom. We're going to be, are you going to be? Woo, 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 woo. And we're going to be exploring this conversation. So I'd like everybody to rise. And if you want more information or to sign up on our email list, it's just literally as you exit these doors, like directly across the room is our little table. So let's just come together in a circle. John, is there anything else you want to say?
No, I don't think there's anything else I want to say about Purpose Summit Berlin. Actually, no, I will. I just want to say a couple of words. So I have a really beautiful experience working with the people that I work with. So I just want to share the gratitude of my heart to work with the people that I work with Ryan, with Carly, with Andrea, and with the rest of our team. I have a huge amount of gratitude and joy in my heart about the people who are going to be there, such as Elizabeth and Tom. Who else do we have? Is there anyone else who's going to be there? No, who's going to be presenting? But there's some other just amazing people. We've got like between 30 and 40 purpose-driven leaders in multiple fields who are going to be speaking about their work and sharing. And it all happens in Berlin, which I love. And I feel like a chef who's kind of been able to put together a bunch of different ingredients. And I think it's going to taste good. Yeah, it's saucy. Yeah, for sure.
We'll just close the circle with one word. Mine's actually two, and I'm going to start. I'll just go around. Fired up.
I think so. Yes.
Okay, yeah, fantastic. Thank you.